You're in the S-Bahn now, traveling towards Munich Central Station.
Even I was puzzled as to why the photo of the laughing Italians had made such an impression on me. Had it been set up by the photographer? I really couldn't imagine it having happened otherwise. After traveling for over 30 hours in a packed and uncomfortable train without a seat, water, or light, laughing was probably the last thing you felt like doing. The photographer must have simply decided to stage this image after vain efforts to capture it live. The Italians he recruited, however, had done the job so well that their cheerfulness had disrupted the semantics of the photograph. Their laughter seemed so jovial that it ultimately came across as unauthentic. In my mind, I was already trying to detect the secret behind the Italians' laughter. The story could prove to be a fascinating approach for a new piece of work. At the Department of Culture, they would be rubbing their eyes in amazement.
As soon as you reach Central Station, head upstairs to the main departure hall. Follow the signs that say "Zu den Fernzügen," long-distance trains. You will be led to the platforms for the international connections. Here, we're going to stay in the immediate vicinity of the tracks.
Munich City Archive. Inventory, Rudy Dix Archive. Portfolio, 668A. Black and white print.
Munich Central Station. Arrival. Men only. Their faces are drawn, angular. Their stare is intense. Their eyes are directed straight at the camera lens. They stand on the platform before a stationary train. Crowds of people bustle around like a flock of roused birds. Suitcases are handed out of windows in order to hasten the process. Despite being strangers, they give each other a helping hand. They have finally arrived. Serious, stiff, dressed in suits.
Follow the signs that say "Zu den Fernzügen."
To find out more about the photo of the laughing Italians, some in-depth research would be involved. This included finding the photographer or interviewing witnesses from the time of the event. Maybe there had been a good reason for their laughter. After all, Germany was inviting these people to start their lives anew. The migrants' overwhelming hope was to escape their financial misery or the pressure of everyday life at home. Apart from that, they had just completed a very long journey and perhaps arrival in itself was enough of a reason to be happy. But what was it about their laughter that surprised me so?
Archive Dome. Inventory Chilich Kalach, BT 413. Black and white photograph, dated 1965.
Arrival at Munich Central Station. In the background, a stationary train. Men linger on the platform, amongst piles of luggage, suitcases, and bags. Looking at the manner in which hats and beards are worn, one may fancy that he can recognize each immigrant's origin and social standing.
Stay in the departure hall at the side of the trucks. Find yourself a seat if you feel like it. We'll stay here for a while.
This is where the guest workers arrived. In special trains, most of which stopped at Platform 11, right over there to the left when you look towards the tracks. In Munich, in 1970, there were around 5,000 workers arriving per week. That makes 20,000 per month. Just try to imagine that for a moment. Workers arriving from Naples or Palermo, from Istanbul, Ankara, Adana and Kayseri, from Rome, Athens, Kastoria, Antalya, Zagreb or Belgrade, from Patras, Pyrgos, Pula or Tuzla, and from thousands of other towns and villages. The station administration soon realized that the constant flow of arriving guest laborer trains was having a negative impact on the local populace and demanded that no transport-holding workers in disheveled states should be led above the street, as it will leave the impression that we are in a state of war. It shouldn't look like forced labor. Memories of the Second World War were still fresh in the minds of both sides.
Archive Domed. Inventory Chilich Kalach, BT 413. Black and white photograph, dated 1965.
Munich Central train station. Not a woman to be seen, only men. Healthy, strong, ready to work. In the background, above a stationary train, hangs a square industrial loudspeaker.
The exact same loudspeakers still hang in the central station today. Look, up there above the tracks. Do you see them? It's just the voices that have changed.
Archive Domed. Inventory Chilich Kalach, BT 413. Black and white photograph. Dated 1965.
A young man stands centrally positioned in the picture. He is holding a megaphone to his mouth and is wearing black tortoiseshell glasses. The newcomers turn to look at him, listening. They are strangers here. They don't understand a word of German. They are dependent on him, their interpreter. He is young, shaven, elegantly clad. They are not much older than him, tired from their journey. Despite speaking the same language, they are still worlds apart.
Photos appear in people's lives like bolts of lightning. The time it takes to shoot an image has lapsed within a millisecond, and life resumes its normal rhythm. The time period recorded on film is barely experienced. It is so short that it can hardly be perceived. The photograph, however, is considered as proof of that moment, as its confirmation. Very often, it will be just one such photograph that remains as a document of an entire era.
If you've carried the publication History Remix with, it is now time to take it out. Study the three black and white printed photographs. If you have downloaded the audio walk as a podcast and do not have a publication with, just hang on and listen. You can look up the images later.
Archive Domed. Inventory Caloyera Carlino E822-3. Black and white photograph. Dated circa 1950. Title: Life at Home, Before the Immigration. Archive Domed. Inventory Thelithimitriou Tsakmaki E878. Black and white photograph. Copyright Siemens AG. Dated 1966. Archive Domed. Inventory Romolo di Sabatino E590-19. Black and white photograph. Photographer unknown.
And what of the women?
If you're not already standing beside the trucks, it's time to go there now.
How many people do you think are here at the moment? 400, 500? Imagine 5,000 of them all having just arrived. Their clothes are still dusty from the fields. Their skin smells of cities, the names of which are hardly pronounceable. Munich means nothing to them. Having arrived in a foreign place, they would now need to define their new environment through memories of home. Memories they eventually impressed upon the city. And now, on a dewy spring morning in Munich, they could smell the aroma of Palermo Central Vegetable Market. Or, on a humid summer day in West End, the wafting flavor of sea salt and watermelons, reminiscent of the Galatasaray promenade in Istanbul. Central Station became a kind of second home for the guest workers. It was the umbilical cord linking them to their place of departure. It became their center for information exchange, their entertainment lounge, and their debating hall all at once and in the same place. The guest workers' habit of meeting at Central Station probably left a strong impression on the local population. The foreigners would often hang out together in groups and speak above each other loudly and gruffly. There was something uncanny about them. Was it their expressions? Or maybe their postures? The way they would take greedy drags of their cigarettes, the butt cramped between their index finger and thumb? Foreign lands, foreign habits, was the expression that became the norm amongst the locals.
Let's move on. Stroll over to the southern entrance of the station. The one with the excessively large Coca-Cola ad. Now press stop on your device, and when you're standing directly under the advert, select Audio Track 4.